If you're looking for a feel great, yes, we can story, look no further. Everyone deserves a decent place to live, and everyone can do something today to make that possible. We're talking about people taking action to make dreams possible. We're talking about the power of volunteerism, and I am certainly smiling when I say that. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. So how do I love this topic and how excited I am? Am I about this guest? Let me count the ways. It's truly a great story in every sense of the word. And I, for one, believe that the world can use lots of feel-good stories right now. I talk about it with my friends and family all the time. We're just on the heels of a very dark time in our country, and COVID is not over. But more good stories are coming out. This is one. This topic is one of those feel-good stories. Yes, you can. The power of volunteerism. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming Gina Hansen, Volunteer Resources Manager, Habitat for Humanity Tucson. And Gina, thanks for being here. I have to say, I love your name.
Same here.
We just had to get that in, right? Gina 1, Gina 2.
That's right.
So thanks for all you do. Thank you, Habitat Humanity Tucson, for all you do to make a difference in our community, including support of the Mrs. Green's World mission and vision. We appreciate that. And we're big admirers on many levels, not just because of the partnership, but because of what you do to make a difference. And you know, Gina, before we dive in and talk about your work and the passion you bring to it, I just want to do a brief getting to know you, because I read your bio and I want to share a little bit more about you so that our listeners have a sense for who you are. And it's not just me that knows, and also how a perfect fit it is for how you have landed where you've landed at Habitat. So our guest, Gina Hansen, is a native of Tucson, Arizona. And for those of you listening in places outside of that, that's rare. When people say, really, you were born here? Because everybody moved here, including me.
Yep.
She is married with two children, one of which is now serving in the Army. With a few different careers behind her, she has landed on working within the nonprofit sector over the last 11 years, doing everything from outreach, humane education, and I think it is humane, as in like humane society. Is that right, Gina?
Yeah, teaching folks about animal welfare,
yeah.
And beyond, being kind,
yeah.
Pretty much.
And you're really involved with Pima Animal Care, which is always much needed. You're on the board.
Yes.
And you're the board president of the Southern Arizona Volunteer Managers Association. Gina also has a small craft business called Make a Difference Crafts and loves making new things from shirts to home decor. She is currently working for Habitat Humanity as their volunteer resources manager, as I said. And it's in this position where she discovered upcycling, as she has everyday access to the treasure trove called Habistore, which would be like a dream for me. And in your off time, you can search for old treasures and I'm sure find them, not just even old, but treasures, and repurpose them. I think it's a perfect fit and a wonderful journey, which is why I wanted to share more about it. And I hope you're okay with that, other Gina.
Of course.
Okay, so let's start with in the beginning, and sometimes I gloss right over this. What do you do as a volunteer resources manager? What do your days look like?
Well, you definitely have to be the best multitasker ever, because
what a great answer.
Well, you know, you do various things, but, you know, your typical person who's involved in volunteer engagement is in charge of recruiting volunteers, training them, recognizing them, and making sure that they fit into the mission and are helping the staff and the community as a whole. Because volunteering enables people to play an active role in the society, in our society, and contribute to positive social change in all different ways. But so our role is to find people who want to participate. And, you know, there's different nonprofits, right, here in Southern Arizona. Lots of nonprofits.
Lots and lots and lots and lots.
Yeah. So finding those folks that align with your mission, and letting them better themselves, bettering the community, the people they serve, and the organization. So I oversee the volunteers, basically. I oversee our internship programs and our AmeriCorps programs.
Oh, my God. I'm laughing because, like, I'm tired just listening to you. And I know about those programs. So yeah. Do you actually, you personally, Gina Hansen, have to be out there recruiting as well?
Yeah, I spend time recruiting. I really love thinking outside the box on how, especially during these times, right? Like, how do we get people involved with Habitat Tucson? But yeah, I'm out there recruiting. We do outreach. We do tabling events, make phone calls, you name it.
It's a never-ending like, I think of a cup that has no bottom. You have to keep filling it. You have to keep pouring into it or else it gets empty because people come, people go, people show up, people don't show up. So you've got your hands full. I've got that loud and clear. And I also understand that you have a personal story about working with volunteers. And of course, we'd all love to hear that. What's that story?
Well, you know, there's so many personal stories. I love getting to know people. I probably should have been an anthropologist or something. But it's just so fun getting to know all the people that you work with. And so as an example, and I'm sorry to say it's not a Habitat story, but again, there are many personal stories. But my favorite story that I have is actually when I used to work at PIM Animal Care Center. I love getting to know volunteers and working with them and getting to know their passions so that way I know where I can place them. But I got to know one of the volunteers there who ended up adopting a dog. His name was Mikey, and he was a very scared pup, all kinds of different things going on with him, you know, and once he got him home, he was the perfect pet. But we were talking about that, thinking, like, how can we get to know animals a little bit more here at the shelter? So we came up with what we call a real-life room, which is made up to look like, say, a living room or something in your home. It's very quiet. You got a TV. You've got couches. You got, you know, just a place you can hang out with your pet like most of us do. And we called it Mikey's room. So we named it after his dog because he did a lot of work on the room. We got approval. I helped him get some items. I decorated because that's what I like to do. And he just kind of helped put things up. We got items donated also from other volunteers who are excited. So basically what happened with this room is, you know, the volunteers started to enjoy it. They got to bring in their favorite pet from the shelter, hang out with them, sit on the couch, watch TV. And then they could slowly see the dog start to relax, kind of see their true behaviors.
Right.
You know, learn some crate training or something like that. And I'm happy that the room is still there today, still called Mikey's Room. And so that's like one of my favorites just because it was a fun teamwork exercise. Everybody loved it, and it still exists, and it's proven to be really beneficial for the dogs.
And it's a great story. And the thing about volunteering is, and you know this, is like when I first started doing it a long time ago, I'm not saying how long ago, okay, but it was a long time ago, I just think, you know, I'm doing this good thing, and I'm going to give back to the community. And then you end up, if you're me, almost feeling guilty because of how rewarding it is. And what little you do comes back about 3,000-fold. So this is another story of, you know, you are the pebble in the pond and the ripples keep on going. And I love that. That's a great story, Gina. Thank you. Thank you. So when we talk about the power and impact of volunteers for Tucson specifically, do you have a sense for the kind of impact they have? I know that there is a tremendous impact, especially at Habitat Tucson, but do you have a snapshot maybe even of like a year of what type of impact we're talking about numbers-wise?
Yeah, so as an example, let's use our 19 through 20 fiscal year for Habitat. And of course, this is during COVID, but we still had about 1,800 volunteers come out and not only build with us, but, you know, helped at our Habit store and in other areas, which, you know, equals about 40,000 hours or so, which is pretty good. But with that impact, you know, that was about a value for our volunteer workforce. That was like over $1 million. That's a lot of manpower and a lot of money saved by Habitat for Humanity Tucson in particular. However, that's just half of it. On the years that we don't have COVID, you know, that's actually, it's actually doubled. But I can't tell you how grateful that we are and were to those volunteers who would still come out and continue to help with our mission, building homes, community, and hope. And so that's just one example of how volunteers play a role and how important it is to continue, you know, our mission.
But that's those are big numbers. I mean, really big numbers. And I think it's safe to say, first of all, I want to say I'm so proud that I have volunteered to build numerous times with the Chapman Cares team. And it feels so darn good. And at the beginning, I just like was in charge of getting Krispy Kreme donuts to people because I didn't think I had the skills to contribute. And I was wrong. And I started, anybody can paint with a roller. Let's hope so, because even I did it. And there were definitely things that whatever your skill set was, you have a need for them. So let's segue into that. In terms of volunteering, how easy do you make it with Habitat Tucson? Because you're one organization that absolutely needs volunteers, maybe not for survival, but almost, because you have home builds that help put the homes up along with your hired workforce. So how easy do you make it? This is like a six-part question. What kind of skills are you looking for? Tell us about volunteering at Habitat Tucson.
Well, like just real quickly, and if you think about a previous conversation you and I had earlier that about the cost of things, if you think of how much wood has gone up, the value of a volunteer hour is so important to us right now because now we're paying, I mean, wood's gone up 188%.
Oh, dear Lord. I had no idea it was that bad. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so with us, you know, obviously our homes are made out of wood. And so that having volunteers kind of, and I hate to say, you know, we've got free labor, but that is absolutely not true. We have valued, skilled volunteers that come in and help us with anything from framing, plumbing, electric, painting, landscaping, you know it. We also call it site prep, so it doesn't sound too scary. but we also really appreciate those volunteers that come to us who are unskilled or want to learn, because then we'll get, you know, we get an excited volunteer who, you know, might know, okay, I know what a hammer is, I know how to do this. And then they're like, then they speak up and they say, you know what, I really want to learn how to put cabinets in or something. And then so we take them under our wing or another experienced volunteer. And then there you go, we've got another volunteer who's learning a certain skill and now they can help put cabinets in or learn electric or whatnot. And so really, you don't have to have any skills to come to Habitat and build. I mean, that's why we're here. We teach and we work with them. But of course, we also love our skilled volunteers. And I mean, it's much more than building at Habitat as well. You know, there's a lot of different opportunities that I'm happy to go into.
Well, I want you to delve into them, but it speaks volumes about when I go and I spent before COVID, I was a regular at the Habitat store because there's really good finds. It's great to find it. I just recommended it to a person who bought a condo here, and I can't believe how much stuff he got. I said, go to Habitat store before you go anyplace else. Why buy new? You can buy reused and repurposed. And he did, and he texted me, and he's like, OMG, blah, 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 so many finds. But for the person you said earlier that there are so many charities in this town, and we have like almost a disproportionate number of nonprofits.
Yeah.
Would you say with Habitat, is there something for everyone? I mean, if you want to take care of pets, no.
Right.
But in terms of all of the other opportunities, I mean, you have an office, you have building sites, you have the Habitat store. Is there something for everyone if someone is moved by this podcast, which I hope they are, and says, I'd love to do something, but I'm not quite sure? Do you have a lot of different kinds of opportunities, especially if someone doesn't want to be involved in the building end?
Of course. And we, you know, you've always heard of thank you for your time, talent, and treasure. So even if you can't volunteer, but you'd like to donate, great. If you'd like to donate items to our Habba store, great. Or monetary donations, that's perfect. But yeah, so some of the volunteer jobs that we have are obviously construction. So that's a popular one. We have our Habba store. So volunteers come to the Habba store and they help on the sales floor, the warehouse. They help us clean. They help us do cashiering, admin skills, answering the phone. We also have admin opportunities in our office, whether you'd like to be at our front desk or work with one of our programs like homeowner services or in philanthropy or even in the volunteer department. We also have, which is one of my favorite volunteer opportunities, which is a homeowner partner. And what that is it's a volunteer who basically is mentoring a new family as they come through the program. So they're accompanying them on their journey. So they're helping them with making sure they're completing their sweat equity hours. So every home owner needs to complete 250 hours of sweat equity as their way to partner with us. And the partner is also teaching them about saving money and doing some financial classes with them. And that's another way that they partner. But the coolest part of that gig is that at the end, when we do their home dedication, they're the ones that give them their keys to the home. And it's so exciting. And they've made like lifelong, you know, friends. And then, of course, we also have really great committees. We have a veteran committee. We have a women build committee. You name it.
You have an LGBT committee. I know that because friend Kevin is involved in it. Rainbow Build.
Kevin. Yeah, we have Rainbow Build. So we encourage the LGBTQ community to come out. We haven't been able to do a lot of our big, big builds like we used to in the past, but hopefully next year, right? We're hoping next year we can do these huge builds like World Habitat Day, which is typically every October, where it's a kind of a corporate fundraiser, if you will, for corporations to come out and build with us. And that's like 300 or more people. And we put the walls up on like 4 to 6 homes in one day. It's so much fun.
And you can't even describe the excitement. You can't. It's like almost frenetic in a good way because there's all these people that have gathered to do good and make a difference. And then the thing that I like about it, quite frankly, is you can see the results after you've been there for 8 hours. It's like, oh my gosh, look what we did and look what we started from. So it's amazing. And again, it speaks volumes about what a giving community Tucson is, because I always do. I have partners that support my work, and it's like I do shout outs for them, but I mentioned Chapman, and another great partner of Mrs. Green's World is TEP, and they participate not just with volunteers, but with, you know, financial support. We've got a very giving corporate culture in this city, I think, and a lot of people that are reflective of that. They want to volunteer. And it's
absolutely,
you've got a lot of houses around this town to prove how much love went into that. I get a little bit carried away when I talk about this because I have been a part of it, and it's very real. I don't think I knew about the family partners, and it's like
Gina one.
How did I not know about that? That sounds like something, if I ever retire or even slow down, that is like, that has Gina Murphy Darling written all over it. I love to mentor and I love to help.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good for me to know, and maybe somebody else who's listening, one of my friends or people that are out there, because that's really when you get to see change lives and you form relationships. And I love that. I really do love that. Let's talk a little bit about the impact of COVID. Things are opening up, I think. I drove my car more this week than I have in, I don't know, probably months. I've literally, because we were pretty shelter at home people because of my husband's health.
Sure.
But I can feel it. Like, people are inviting me to events, and most of them require that you bring you have to show that you've been vaccinated. But it feels like we can start to exhale maybe a little bit. So in terms of volunteering, what's happening with Habitat, and how did you curate the whole COVID thing, and where are you now? Pretty significant changes, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when it first happened, just like probably every other organization, we had no volunteers and it was just staff that were building or, you know, working or whatnot. And then we slowly brought back some regulars that were coming out that are kind of our more skilled volunteers. And then we started opening up the site to maybe 20 volunteers a day or, you know, 30 volunteers and so on and so forth. But right now, because Habitat is all about safety and health, and we have a really wonderful CEO who really believes that. So right now we are limiting, especially at the construction site, up to 50 volunteers per site. And our sites are pretty big, so they have plenty of room to spread out. If they are indoors, obviously we would like them to wear a mask. We do encourage folks, you know, if you're feeling any illness, sickness, whatnot, obviously stay home. And we do have some protocols for COVID for staff and volunteers. Our office is open to the public, but we are requiring masks inside. And the HABA store is open to the public, but they still do require masks inside. Other than that, I mean, that's what we're doing. Our staff is watching what's going on in the world. And so we're kind of, you know, following the guidelines of Pima County and so on, and CDC guidelines and so on.
Okay, it's a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, as an environmentalist, it's just so tough with all the extra hand washing stations you have to have, which means paper towels, which means water, which means plastic containers.
Yes.
The impact of COVID is immeasurable on so many levels, and its impact to the environment has been devastating. I mean, thank God for the precautions we can take and that there are such a thing as sanitizing stations, because that's better than dying. But it's just, it's so big and so heavy at times for someone like me that it's hard to process. And that's part of what the joy is to me in getting out. I mean, I ate in two restaurants this week and I'm like, whoa, I hadn't been in one of them for a year and a half and another one for almost two. So it's just, and believe me, the people in the restaurant business, they're all doing the happy dance. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, and hats off to T. Van Hook, your CEO, because she and I have spoken a couple of times, and even though it was at a great cost on so many levels, she put health and safety first for everybody.
Absolutely.
And not everybody did that. So you go, girl.
Yeah.
In case she listens to this show, and I might test her to see if she did. So do you have to, like, if someone does want to volunteer, I want to just get into not necessarily the all of the information, but, and of course, we always have a link to the website in our show notes so people can know that it's habitattucson.org. But how does someone who's inspired by this, how do they best connect with you? Is it online as the first point of contact, or what do you recommend?
I would say, yeah, it's so easy to go online, especially to habitattucson.org/volunteer. And it takes you right to the volunteer page, and it takes you to a link at the bottom. Click on it, and it takes you right to your sign up, and you just enter some information, and it shows you exactly what's open, what you need an orientation for. So obviously, because of COVID, we're doing a lot of Zoom, unfortunately, still Zoom or self-paced orientations. But mostly, they can just fill that out, sign up for a shift, and just head right out to the construction site. But we do require an orientation for our HABA store and some of our other long-term positions, if you will.
Well, I think that's important.
But yeah, they can give us a call at the office if they don't want to use the internet. Call the office directly at 327-1217.
That's okay. Kelly makes the magic happen on the show page. I mean, as people go to there and they can click, she puts direct links. Because I think it's important that we just reiterate, I think sometimes people don't volunteer because they're afraid that they'll make a mistake or not know what they're doing or not be directed. And it's encouraging to me and not surprising to hear that if it's something other than a home build where you actually get the training on site, I can speak from personal experience. Mm-hmm. They go over the safety procedures. Everybody has to wear a helmet. You don't really need in-service training to paint with a roller. Thank you, Gina One. But I think it's important for you to reiterate that if someone does want to come to have a store, you don't just say, fill out the form and I'll see you next Tuesday. There has to be a little bit more training than that, and that's what you take care of or oversee, correct?
Absolutely. On our construction site, our amazing construction crew.
They are.
Also does what we call a circle up.
They really are.
Yeah, they do a circle up. You know, we welcome people. They do a safety brief real quick, and then they kind of divvy out tasks and say, here's who you're going with today. And then our staff or experienced crew lead volunteers will help train. So it's so easy and it's so much fun. Just a quick thing. I had a sweet little lady the other day call me and say, it's my first time out. You know, what am I going to expect? And I told her. And the next day she gave me a call and I couldn't really tell in her voice, but she, you know, told me who she was again. And she's like, I had so much fun.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great. And so she's like, I want to do it again. So I'm like, okay. So we got her set up.
Yay. And if we have to comment on, I mean, it sounds like I'm doing this show too, not just interviewing and asking you questions, but that's what a good partnership is. Many of the volunteers that I have seen time after time after time in my interface with either the HABA store or the building sites, they treat it like a job and they show up. I've seen some of the same faces at the HABA store for 10 years.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
We have volunteers that have been there for 25 years or more. Oh. I mean, they're still there. That was the first thing when I started at Habitat. I was like, that is amazing. I love that. You know, or did I say volunteering? Sorry. When I first started at Habitat and I met the volunteers who were there for, you know, 25 years or more.
Yeah. It blows me away.
Yeah.
And the other organization, it's so ironic that I know a lot about also, even though they're not the same kind of partner as Habitat, is Pima Animal Care. We do these wonderful events, adoption events with the Chapman Cares team, and Chapman covers the licensing fees and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, the same people show up year after year, walking the dogs, coming and giving up their Saturday. It is not a job that I would cherish. I can tell you that right now, because having like 15 dogs on a site at a car dealership isn't always sparking joy in my heart, but they show up and they're trained, and it's magic to kind of watch it and realize it wouldn't happen without the volunteers because there's not enough money to staff it to that extent. When you have 12 volunteers show up to you know, man the booth, so to speak, it's pretty impressive.
Absolutely.
So now I want to shift for a minute before we end, because we're getting close to the end.
Okay.
What about you? You upcycle. Do you have any stories from Have a Store where you had a find that you'd like to share? I don't want to put you on the spot, but there's got to be something. You got to give me something about you and what you have found. And I love the word upcycling. So tell us, do you have a story, Gina?
Yeah, I got addicted to that. Because every time
there's the truth, everybody.
Right.
And it's an addiction.
And I shouldn't say I have free access. It doesn't mean that I get everything for free. FYI, I pay for everything that I find there, but it's such a good deal. So you know, and Habit Store is a great home improvement outlet with all kinds of used and new goods. So, and you can find anything in there from building materials to paint to furniture, you name it. So, the first thing I found was this old sad shovel that was missing like a handle. And right away, I was like, oh, I'm totally going to take that and like fix it up. So, I grabbed it and went home and I put a little paint on it, and something also called a furniture transfer. So this is a great item that you can find online. You can just Google like furniture transfers and you get all these really cool patterns. And it's basically almost like a rub-on tattoo, if you will.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and there's so many different patterns and such. And you just purchase them. They're a little expensive depending on what you get, but they're worth it because they really can beautify a project. So yeah, you just rub it on. So I rubbed it on the shovel, made sure it sat well. I placed my little paint on there that says love grows here, and it had some sunflowers on it. And then you just coat it with a nice coat of polyurethane to make it stay. And then a friend of mine loved it so much, she bought it and put it in her garden. So there's ways that you can sell the items that you make, but you literally can upcycle. So you're basically taking an object that's no longer in use and you're just giving it a second life or a new function, which is a little different than recycling, because recycling, you're pretty much breaking it down to be remade into a new product. But with the upcycling, it's the same product. You're just kind of beautifying it and making it more practical or useful or whatnot. So, and you can upcycle. I mean, you can find things at the Habba store. I've upcycled old wood and I've made trays out of it. I've made, found a wood gate and I made a potting bench out of it. I found an old saw and I kind of did the same thing that I did with the shovel and, you know, put a design on it and someone loved it. You can, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard of pallet furniture. You can make furniture out of pallets, yes, you name it.
Yes.
Another fun thing you can think of, somebody had a crib, like a wood crib. They obviously turned it into a bench, which was cool, but they donated it to the Habba store. I saw it and I was like, oh, I want that. So I took it and made, and I would say upcycled it a little bit more, painted it, and then drilled some holes in it to actually put some pots in. So it's like this really cute like bench that pots sit on or in. Gosh, there's just so many things you can do.
So talk about a perfect fit for you personally. This is like a dream. Right? It would be like that for my husband too. He looks at things very differently than I do.
Yeah.
And thinks about what he can make from them. And he has done some amazing, amazing things. And some of the stuff he got from Habba store. And I don't want to forget this part. And I almost did because I get so wrapped up in the story. One of the things that I hope people remember is donating.
Yes.
Because you thrive and succeed on donations. And the other end of that is when I first started my partnership with Habba store, Terry D was there and he talked about the toilet. We had a toilet story that was became legend for years, but
oh, nice.
Someone came in very lower socioeconomic, you know, I'm sure below the poverty line, just pretty frantic. His little boy had put a toy down the toilet and it cracked. And toilets are expensive if you have to go out and buy a new one, especially if you're on welfare or you're making minimum wage or whatever. And Terry was able to sell him a toilet for $5.
Wow.
And I am sure that Terry gave him a deal, but a good deal. I'm not sure. Maybe that's how much it was. But those are the kinds of things where people from the community benefit from it that need to benefit. I go because I love it and I'm fortunate enough to be able to, if I need something new, I could do that. But it's so much better for your budget and the planet if you go to some place like Habba store before you think of buying new. So I'm glad we got that in because there's a very strong purpose to what the Habba store supports. And donations are key to that. So
yeah.
Thank you. This just in. It was like a bulletin in my head. we've got to come to a close. All good things must end.
Okay.
But this is only the beginning because we'll be SEOing the heck out of this podcast and hopefully you'll share it and have some of your family members share it. And I just want to close by saying, keep on doing what you're doing, not just Habitat for Humanity Tucson, but what you're doing. Your passion comes through, your joy with what you're doing comes through. And I'm sure that you are quite an asset to that team. So thanks for taking the time and our paths will cross soon because I'm getting out more.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you do also.
Well, it was fun. I mean, how could you not love what I do?
I know. I love it.
Getting to tell other people's good stories.
Right?
You know what I mean? So thank you. And thanks for your support. And thank you. A little special shout out to our amazing sound engineer who makes the magic happen and covers up the glitches and despite the fact that he's very mean to me personally, we get by. Of course, I'm kidding. I don't know what I'd do without Dave LeBrec. So a shout out to our sound engineer, the behind-the-scene people that make the magic happen. I don't thank them enough, so I'm glad I remembered. So everybody, make it a great green day. Get out there and volunteer. And Gina, keep on doing what you're doing. Thanks, everybody.